This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. We are two games in to the start of the preseason for the Kansas City Chiefs. Reportedly, Andy said that the starters may play a little bit next, this coming Friday against the Bears. I don't know about that. We'll see.
I think you will, Chris. I think some of the decision last week, typically the way things have worked in the NFL is, well, no one knows how they do it because every team's doing it different, to be honest with you.
Usually it is your starters play a little bit game one.
It's the way it usually is.
They play a little bit more in game two. And then in game three, they don't play at all.
Yeah, the way it used to be game three, they'd play half. The way it used to be when they had four games.
Yeah, when they had four games. But in the current system.
Well, the current system, who knows what? Yeah. I mean, you just watched last night's game between the Bills and the Bears. You know, Caleb Williams, you know, starts the game and plays, and Josh Allen didn't sniff the field.
Yeah, Josh Allen doesn't play in the preseason.
So, I don't know. To be honest with you, Andy even quantified that by saying, don't know how long they're going to play. In translation, you'll see Mahomes for three snaps. Unless they drive the ball down the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll probably be one drive for the starters for the most part. Maybe some starters will play a little bit more.
And two of those carries will be Pacheco.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to run a whole lot, but still,
I wouldn't risk it. I mean, you see all these injuries in the NFL. I wouldn't risk it. Now, the offensive line, yeah, they'd play.
Some of those guys would play. I wouldn't have Trey and Creed out there.
No, but Kingsley and Jalen Moore / Juwan Taylor on the right side, and I'd have Kingsley playing. I'd have Josh Simmons playing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I do. And as far as receivers, they're all kind of banged up anyway. So see what direction you want to go. I'm sure Rashee Rice would be fine in this game. See what he can do. And, you know, just because they're at home, I think they want to have the starters go out there a little bit because it is the only home preseason game. But I say, hey, who cares about that? Just be healthy.
Speaking of Rashee Rice, the Chiefs and Rashee Rice don't have any answers on what's going to happen with him. He has a disciplinary hearing with the NFL scheduled for September 30th. Weird time to have it. Originally, usually this stuff happens before the season, but because the process kind of got dragged out, September 30th was the earliest that they could have this hearing with their independent arbitrator. So as of right now, he will play the first four games of the season, those being the Chargers game in Brazil, then the game against Philly at Arrowhead. Then they go to New York and play, well, New Jersey, and they play the Giants. And then they come back home and host the Baltimore Ravens. So if that happens, the next six games you would have after that, I think the assumption is 4 to 6 is what he would be suspended for. The NFL tried, like they initially proposed a 10-game suspension, but that ain't going to fly, especially when you compare it to other, similar but not exactly the same situations. It wasn't anywhere near as harsh. I mean, was it Josh Brent, defensive tackle for the Cowboys? He was convicted of manslaughter and got 8 games. So a 10-game suspension for someone who didn't do that seems to be a little ridiculous. But I mean, I think we assume 4 to 6 games. The six games after that first four would be at Jacksonville, at home against Detroit, at home against the Raiders, at home against the Commanders. Then you go to Buffalo, you have a bye week, and then you go to Denver.
Yeah, and the one thing about this is Deshaun Watson got 11 games, and the presiding judge over this was former judge Sue Robinson, right? That was their first case.
And that's who would oversee this.
Would be number two case.
That would be the one that she would oversee.
Yeah. She would, but she gave Deshaun 6. The NFL has the right to appeal. So she goes out and says, we're doing 6 games for Deshaun. The NFL said, timeout. They went back and appealed it and got it raised to 11 games. So on one hand, that's good because she does show she is a tad lenient because Deshaun had only gotten 6 games at this point. But it looks more and more like the NFL actually wanted to slap 10 games on him, which is really...
I mean, according to was it Tom Pelissero? He said double-digit games, so at least 10.
Yeah, that's what the word is, that the NFL wanted 10 games. That's why I think this is going to the hearing, because if the NFL came out and said 5 games and he's good with it, then he's out those games, right? But because they're appealing it and it's going to New York, means the NFL put their number out that they wanted to do, and the chief said, and the NFLPA said, no, we're going to go appeal this, and so it'll be on September 30th. You know what?
I don't think this is going to reach the hearing.
I don't know either, but I know sure as hell he's not taking 10 games.
No, he's not taking. I think they're going to settle.
If they settle,
and I think it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle, like somewhere between 4 to 6.
If they say 6, I think that's too much, to be honest with you. I think 4. Probably would have been what I thought.
Six.
It would.
I mean, it is what it is. If no, it's six, it is what it is.
Now it comes down to the timing, because if it is done before the hearing, it starts off this way, and it starts off with the. But
well,
you know,
if they settle, it'll be before the hearing.
Yeah. If they settle, yes.
And it would make sense in their point to get it done before the season, as opposed to doing it.
I get
it in the
that, but if I'm the Chiefs, I'm actually okay with it, and here's why: the Bengals have been buried by starting slow. And when you play in Brazil, you turn around and play the Eagles. Do I want Rasheed Rice out there? 100%. You know what waiting on this suspension also does? Let's say that they after the 30th they meet and they slap him 4 games. Then he could maybe be back before that Buffalo game, but that's not looking like that would happen at this point. But bottom line is, you know what that does? It gives you time to develop. It gives Hollywood Brown time to get that, you know, ankle 100% ready. It gets Jalen Royals time to understand the offense, get better. So when Rice does have to miss those games, yeah. But the one thing I don't want to see the Chiefs do is start off slow. Because you start off slow, you end up like the Bengals. You saw what happened starting slow. In this beginning of the schedule, man, when you got the Ravens in that mix and the Eagles and the Chargers, yeah, there's no such thing as an easy schedule in the NFL. I get that. But the first part of the season is very difficult for the Chiefs. That's all I was thinking. You give Jalen Royals time. You know, because we didn't see Xavier Worthy explode really till the middle to the later part of the season. If I'm the Chiefs, I would actually be okay with the suspension starting in October.
I wouldn't, and the reason why is because I think continuity is important, and I think when you have him for the first month and then you lose him for a month and a half, and then you bring him back into the offense, continuity's thrown off.
See, I agree with you 100%.
I just think that it makes more sense if you are the Chiefs. If it's 4 games, if it's 4 to 6, take that early because then you get going down the stretch. I understand, like, you want do you really think they're going to start off like the Bengals?
And he had the little bit of Rashee Rice injury there at the end of training camp and stuff. That would be 100% healed by then.
But my thing is, do you really think they're going to start off like the Bengals?
I would hope not. I'm
not asking you, do you hope? I'm asking you, do you think?
Without Rashee Rice? Here's the thing, Chris.
Do you think that they're going to start off slow without Rashee Rice?
You know what?
Based on their history during this run.
But here's the thing. If you didn't have Rice in that game, and Hollywood Brown, as we said, it's well documented, he's missed 24 games since 2021. I get it, 15 were last year, but 9 were before that. And he's not been 100%. He's missed the end of training camp there with the last 5 or 6 practices. They got him on the field today doing a little working. Again, that's different than the game time. And so if he wasn't 100% ready to go, and then you had Jalen Royals that was held out of practice today too, he's down a little bit banged up. So you go into a situation, you're like, who the hell are they going to throw to? And that's one reason I wanted Rice. Get off fast to it, because if Hollywood Brown's not 100% ready to go, you're going to be relying on Xavier Worthy a ton at the beginning of the season. That's my only holdup, and I wanted to give Jalen Royals time. Give him time in the offense to kind of understand his placement, timing, things like that. And then if Rashee Rice had to be injured, you could go that direction. We just differ on that.
Hollywood could get hurt in September too, and
he could
miss games when Rashee's suspended anyway.
He could, but I just don't want to see
based on his history, it's a good chance he will.
You know what though?
So that's the reason why I would much rather you get the suspension over with early, get continuity, because I don't think they're going to start off slow. I think they'll find ways to be able to stay in the hunt for that top seed. And I think that I think they have some better options than what they had a year ago. I'll tell you this, one guy I've been really impressed with, Robert Tonyan, the third tight end now.
He's been great.
He's been killing it. I expect him to be able to pick up some of the slack there. I just think that, even early in the season, I think Juju can be a contributor as a role player in that offense early. You're not going to ask him to go out there and be what he was in 2022. You're going to ask him to be a contributor. And, as far as we know, he doesn't have any serious injury problems right now. So it's he could pick up the slack early in the season until you get some production back from Rashee whenever the suspension is done. The continuity aspect.
I get it. We just differ on that. I will say this. The way I look at it, too, is, you go back to, it goes back to the draft. It's a draft podcast. Goes back to the draft. I sit here, and you knew this was going to be looming on the horizon. So, one, you go into the draft, and Hollywood Brown's injury history. You knew Rashee Rice was going to be tabbed at some point. And the speculation had to be around draft
time. They didn't know that he was going to get, because it had to be resolved
first. It did. But then
it was resolved earlier than we thought it was going to be.
But there was a good chance he was going to get
there. There was a chance, but the speculation was that it wasn't going to be resolved until after the season.
Chris, this is why I draft two receivers, to be honest with you. And honestly, and I know, some people like this, some don't. This is why I would assign Keenan Allen for a year. One of the best slot receivers in the NFL. And this would just be when Rice, if in chance he was going to miss games, because he was still available up until last week or a couple days ago when he signed with the Chargers. And he had over 770 yards catching with the rookie quarterback last year in Caleb Williams. I would have signed him only because he's a pro's pro and he knows the offense and he knows the NFL and he's one of the best slot receivers the NFL's seen. And it would also, if he was on your team, it could have kept him from being with the Chargers. That would have helped. But it was a role that, when Rashee Rice is out, this is a guy, or if Hollywood gets hurt, this is a guy you rely on to be in your offense. Basically, in case of emergency, break glass, but that's a guy I'd like to break glass with, was Keenan Allen. But again,
yeah, but Keenan Allen probably didn't want to be here, too.
Exactly.
There's a good chance he probably just wanted to go someplace he's familiar with.
Well, I get also, it. Said and done, but I still would have drafted two receivers.
I disagree with the two receivers take. I would much rather they've drafted a couple defensive tackles because that's a position they're really hurting at. I think the receiver position is not as pronounced as you think it is. I think they've done a good job of building some depth there, and I think they might surprise some people early with the depth they have. It's not going to be we've got one superstar right now. Like when Rashee's out, he's the superstar guy. Unless Xavier Worthy takes a major step forward and he becomes the superstar guy while Rashee's out. But I think it'll be a good collective effort. To me, the biggest issue with the offense hasn't been the wide receivers, it's been the offensive line. Like, they didn't have a good wide receiver core in 22. I mean, you know, the best receiver they had was Juju Smith-Schuster.
I just wanted to get him off to
He wasn't the same guy.
Because you go back to 2021, they started the season 1-2. They started the season 3-2 through 5.
They still hosted the AFC Championship game that year.
They lost the Bengals. I get that. You can't always count. You can't always count on things in football.
I'm not saying to count on a depleted team
playing the Chargers over in Brazil. Then you turn around and you play the Eagles. Yeah, I'd like to see them have some form of reliable weapons in those games.
I don't think they're as depleted as you think they are. I think that they still have talent there. Is it as much of a sure thing with Rashi Rice out? No, it's absolutely not.
If Rice is out and Brown's hobbled up, and you don't got a lot, man. You don't. If those two are out, you don't have much.
I mean, you got Travis Kelce still.
I get
it. You got Xavier Worthy still.
I get it.
I think Hollywood will be good enough to play.
I hope so.
You got Robert Tonyan.
He's the key, man.
You got Robert Tonyan. You got Isaiah Pacheco, who, man, he has some burst on Friday.
He's looking good.
He has some burst on. He looked way different than he did when he came back from that injury. I think Kareem Hunt can still give you something in short yardage and goal line
situations. And Jalen's got knee tendonitis right now.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But, like, I think they have talent there that they could find ways to win.
We're just different. I don't mind if the suspension happens later. That is if it's four games. You know, you can deal with that. Four games would be ideal because then he could come back for that Buffalo game.
I said 4-6 is about
that would be ideal,
the range that I think he's probably going to
be. It can be settled before, but I do think the reason there is that hearing is because the NFL wanted 10. That's why they want the hearing.
That is exactly why.
You know, it's ridiculous. The NFL penalties are stupid. It's ridiculous. And there's one team I think the NFL owes a little bit something to, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Be transparent with them, being open with it. I mean, just in good faith to the Chiefs, the team that they throw on national TV to be the first ever team on YouTube. The first ever team on Netflix was the Chiefs. First ever Amazon Prime game was the Chiefs. First ever playoff game was on Peacock was the Kansas City Chiefs. So translation, these NFL partners, streaming partners, throw so much money at the league. The one thing they've requested is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, do you think the other teams care about that, though?
No, but the NFL should.
But the owners, they run the NFL.
I get it, but the Chiefs bank of money and suspending Rice. Come on, man.
Yeah, but
games.
The Chiefs aren't banking in money. It's the NFL that's banking in money.
10 games is ludicrous.
It is. I agree with you on that, but I don't think the NFL owes the Chiefs anything.
I do, though.
This is the NFL we're talking about.
Well, I do. I'm just looking at the Chiefs being their cash cow, man.
If the Chiefs weren't their cash cow, somebody else would be
their
cash cow.
And I'm looking at the fact you watch the Kingdom
this is
show.
The NFL, man.
If it wasn't for Lamar Hunt, they wouldn't play the overseas games.
They could put the worst game you could think of. It'll still be the highest rated show on TV.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Name the damn Super Bowl.
The Chiefs don't. The NFL does not owe the Chiefs anything. It's the NFL. The NFL dominates whatever else is on TV. So let's get to our thoughts about the preseason.
Regardless, rant agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah. Let's get to our thoughts about preseason game two. I think the biggest takeaway, and I think you agree with me on this, Kingsley Suamataia. Woo. Struggling. Every time, and
talking pass block and run blocking. Pass run block is very good.
Oh, run blocking, he's a beast.
28.4 Pro Football Focus. Yeah, that was brutal.
I don't care about the Pro Football Focus.
I know, but it was brutal. I mean, I saw a lot of the same things I did in week one, to be honest with you.
Oh, I saw them more pronounced.
It was more pronounced in week two. And again, I get it, man. One play here or there. Chris, Dick Vermeil, you say football comes down to one or two plays. That's true. And if you have a guy, because they're going to be loading up the blitz. These defensive coordinators licking their chops seeing Kingsley there and seeing the pass blocking struggles. They bring blitzes. You know how quickly they can. I mean, that's a big turnover chance. Somebody unabated to the quarterback.
I brought this up after the Cardinals game last week. I was like, if you attack the B gap against Kingsley, it seems to be his weakness.
Yeah, running wise, fine,
and
but they don't run the ball.
Still his weakness.
But they don't run the ball. I get it. He run blocks well.
They're not going to run the foot. You know, that's Andy's thing.
They're not
anyway.
Going to. We know that. But you got to be able to pass block if the quarterback's named Patrick Mahomes.
Like, it was just how easy they were able to get him on his heels, attacking the outside shoulder. He literally looked like he did when he was playing tackle. And guys would take the outside shoulder, because that's what you do when you speed rush. You take that outside shoulder, and you basically try to get around him. It's literally what they were doing with him lined up inside. They had Creed helping him almost every time that he was dropping back in pass protection.
And he still
was getting whooped on the outside
shoulder. Keep this in mind, too. It's vanilla defenses. These aren't even complicated stunts.
No, they literally just had the defensive tackle play three tech against him, and he was getting his ass whooped every time.
If they come up with a plan in a regular season game,
that's what I said a week ago. Was
salivate
like,
over that.
I said this a week ago. I was like, if I was a DC, I would be stunting towards Kingsley every time I wanted to send.
You know what I would do? I'd have Jalen Moore start learning that real quick.
Yeah, I would, and I think that's. I mean, they at last week they started getting Mike Caliendo more reps at guard, at the left guard spot, and yeah, I mean, I mean, I'll say this, Kingsley, the way if he plays like that early, like if he plays like that week one. He can't be the starting left guard anymore.
No,
he just can't.
It's not about draft pick. I understand. Hey,
I don't care about the draft pick anymore.
No, I understand that too. I understand too. But I mean, just look. FAU just got thrown on IR today, right?
Yeah.
So FAU, number one pick in Kansas City, hasn't worked out for him. And you know, I do think that was a pick. It was a hometown guy. They did it. The draft was in Kansas City.
I think they liked him. I think they liked him, and there probably wasn't like a great trade partner.
He kept showing growth. I'll give him that when he went to K-State.
And he had the skill set they liked.
But just hear me out here.
It just didn't work.
Just hear me out here. But here's the problem. You can elevate eight guys from IR to the regular season, right? They can come back now. It used to be much different. You couldn't bring a guy back. Now you can bring back eight guys. The NFLPA made it. We can bring it, and you can bring two more back for the postseason. Now you can have two guys that you designate to return by going to put them on IR before the final cutdowns, but you can't officially do it until the final cutdown day, right? So what they've said here is with his hamstring, he shut down for the year. But what I'm saying is they didn't have to do it. They could have just waited until the cutdown day and he wouldn't have counted against it. And they said, you know, we designate him to return. It's bad enough to where we're saying he ain't coming back, because you can do that in the NFL now. You can designate at least up to eight guys to return, but they didn't see it valuable enough even to do that, which I think is pretty glaring.
I think it does show that they still like him, the fact that they decided to put him on the season-ending IR, because, I mean, you know, to be honest, they could have just got rid of him.
Well, but there was no designation to return. If they really liked him, there would have been designation to return.
That's what I'm saying, though, but like I don't think that they think he's going to return. So, yeah. But I think that if they didn't like him at all, then they would have just like, hey, you're gone. So I think the fact that I think the injury is probably serious enough to where he would miss almost the entire season, if not the entire season. So, you know, they're like, hey, we'll see if we can get something out of you next year. But yeah, no, I'll say this, man. Sua Mataia can't play like that in a regular season. The way he played against, like, you can't get whooped one-on-one at guard.
I think it's a confidence issue almost with him, because we know he's got the talent.
What did I tell you after they benched him in week two last year? I was like, confidence is a hard thing to get back when you lose.
And I think that he did lose it last year.
I think he lost it.
I think that's still
And I think it's still in his, because he doesn't look, you brought up.
When he got yanked from tackle, I think that
stung. He was mauling dudes.
I think
that
stung.
Oh, yeah, of course. And like I said, you brought this up. He was mauling dudes in the run game.
Yeah, it's different, though, because you're doing the hitting.
Yeah.
Pass blocking is they're coming at you.
He was able to use his athleticism.
Much different discipline than mauling somebody.
If you just watch Sua Mataia's run film, you'd think he was like one of the best guards in the game. And then you watch him pass block.
And he was.
And he is so bad. And I just think it's like, I think anytime you put him in space, he has no confidence.
No
confidence in space. And again, they helped. Creed was helping him on almost every single pass block attempt, and he still was getting whooped on that outside shoulder.
And that's what I worry about, that being next to a rookie.
Yeah.
Simmons. I mean, that kind of, that doesn't help Simmons at all.
No.
At all.
And not only that, but like,
your left tackle shouldn't have to worry about his guard.
Right. And also, I mean, I don't think the rookie tackle is going to be, because he's going to be more focused on what he's doing. But I don't think that you should put Creed in a position to where he has to go out of his way to help Kingsley. Kingsley shouldn't have to do a drop step like that so that he can stay in front of his guys, because all those guys know is, hey, if our edge rusher lined up against Josh Simmons goes speed and just goes really wide, then we can basically create the kind of space with our three tech against Sua Mataia that an edge rusher would, and we can beat him every time.
Just like Pete Carroll wrote in his book, you know, players are their best when they can just concentrate on them.
Right.
Instead of worrying about everybody else. But now you're in a situation where Creed Humphrey has to worry about him.
Yeah.
And you don't want to put that kind of worry on your tackle either.
Right. Speaking of the tackle, Josh Simmons, I thought he looked pretty good for the most part. He did have like a couple snaps that weren't the best, but I kind of chalked that up to learning. But for the most part, he was pretty good.
No, he was. There was still some, you know, some issues and footwork.
There was a couple plays where he looked like,
you know,
a rookie.
Broken down the film
hand
and stuff like that.
Hand placement and whatnot,
The thing is, that all comes to you. I mean, just getting comfortable with who and what you are and getting comfortable in your own skin. He's got the power, though. He just needs to start using it.
No one pushes him back. Only issue he had he had one running play where he let the guy beat him on the inside there, and then he had one pass-blocking play where the guy made an inside move, and I mean, it wasn't really like entirely like a bad play. It was like it was a good move
by
the edge rusher.
He's good enough to start, man. He's good enough to play.
Yeah, he went inside on Kingsley, and
I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, so that wasn't like a hit the panic button type situation. It was like, okay, he's young. That's a learning experience. He'll get better. So I'm not concerned about those plays, but yeah. Another guy in the offense that I thought showed a little juice was Breshard Smith, the seventh round pick from this year's draft, running back. He definitely showed a little juice in the run game, and I haven't been impressed with Elijah Mitchell. So I kind of look at that scenario, and I think that if you're the Chiefs, maybe you feel a little bit better about keeping Breshad Smith and letting Elijah Mitchell go. I don't know if they'd be quite motivated to do that because Andy does value experience, and also because Elijah Mitchell has a pretty decent dead cap hit compared to his salary. So maybe they feel like we don't want to pay him, you know, a third to two thirds of what his salary was going to be if we cut him. So maybe they decide to keep him anyways. But I mean, to be honest, the way that Breshad looked, I think it makes a lot of sense to keep him over Elijah, because I haven't been impressed with Elijah Mitchell at all.
He didn't run the ball extremely well. He had 22 yards there, and he showed how he can do in the pass catching game too. But one thing about Breshad I really like, though, is some of the knocks on him, you know, as far as pass pro and stuff like that.
I haven't seen any issues. Yeah,
I haven't either at all. Like he's manned up, man. I've really been impressed with him pass blocking.
Yeah, and I've been impressed with just the burst that he shows when he's got the ball in his hands. Like I definitely think that's a guy that he's got some potential in this offense. Like Andy knows how to utilize guys like him. Like you kind of look at him and comparing him like Dat, you compare him to like Dexter McCluster, and it's like, you know, the running back receiver hybrid type guys. And I do think there's value in having him on this team. I think there's more value in him than a guy like Elijah Mitchell, who, you know, Elijah Mitchell had a great rookie year with the 49ers, but since then he's never been able to reach that. And not only that, but like if you look at the 49ers, I mean, the 49ers had him on their roster and they still traded for a lot to go get Christian McCaffrey, because they weren't that comfortable with him as the starting back. So, and, you know, obviously for good reasons, because of injury problems. So I just brought up a few minutes ago, Robert Tonyan. Man, he looks like the second best tight end on this team. I kind of like it more than I like Noah Gray right now. And I know, again, it's against like second and third string. It's second and third. But, dude, Tonyan looks like he has immediately come in. He understands the concepts. And Tonyan's not young. Tonyan's like, what, seventh, eighth year in the league? He's like early 30s.
I mean, the leap showed his athletic ability. He leaped over defender. It's Tonyan, like, man, is he 25-year-old Tonyan or 31-year-old Tonyan?
Yeah, Tonyan looks like – he looks like the guy that was in Green Bay a few years ago that everyone was talking about was going to have a breakout year with the Packers.
A couple times in the NFL.
Yeah, like Tonyan looks really good.
Whatever he did, he's working.
I mean, it sounds like he's just in a good system now, I guess, where they know how to use him, right?
He's led the Chiefs in receptions in yards the last 2 weeks.
And this is what I've
been, I get it, it's preseason, all that, but he's showing something.
This is why I think the Chiefs can work around their receiver issues early with the Rashi Rice suspension, because you could go more 12, 13 personnel.
Slowed 13 in there, man.
Yeah, have all three of your tight ends out there. And you just kind of minimize your wide receiver so you can kind of work around that depth. That's why they were so good in 22, because they ran tons of 12 and 13 personnel. And you had all those tight ends out there. You know, Jody Fortson, that was the Jody Fortson year. You had a lot of production from your tight ends that year because of that. So I'd like to see them get back to that. And Tonyan, to me, kind of gives me a little bit of hope. Because if he can give you some production, we're not asking him to be
big,
like a great
physical,
player.
Tall,
good after the catch,
catches the damn ball.
Yeah, and again, yeah, he catches the damn. Like I like what I saw from him.
I like when he did a little leap over the defender. It's like, man, where did that athleticism
for
come from,
30s,
man?
Damn, tight end. Yeah, that's some athleticism. Another guy that we saw some athleticism from brought it up earlier. Isaiah Pacheco as well. Only had one touch. You know, he had the catch along the sidelines. He kind of went out there on that swing pass, was the check down. But man, when he got the ball in his hands, he just went. And
contract year, my friend.
As the late great Therese Paley used to say, contract year is undefeated.
Because I doubt they give him that extra contract.
Don't think, unless it's a 1 year deal for chump change. I don't think he's back next year. But I hope that is a major motivating factor for him, and he's able to play so well that he gets a nice extension somewhere else. Because I he's a very likable guy, and definitely he's going to be. And even last week when he was playing, you saw a little bit when he carried the ball.
Well, he's got the speed. He had 4.37 speed at the combine, so he's got that speed.
But
I've just always wanted to see him in the open field, man, and just go. He's got the speed.
The issue even wasn't even that. Like even last week, I mean, they ran, you know, inside zone, and he still was able – he was getting around defenders. Like, there was a little bit something there. I was like, man, if he could just do that more this year, like, they're going to be –
And that's the thing about Kingsley, by the way. Zone blocking was good for him, the combo blocks and everything. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that system will work.
Yeah, so I want to see more. I want to see more Pacheco like that, where he's able to go and chunk the defense for 4 or 5 yards every time he gets a carry. And then as a receiver, you can throw it to him in the flats and he'll go get you 7, 8, 9, 10 yards and be a real threat in the pass game. Because that, to me, is what really helps this offense out, is if Pacheco's a real threat in the passing game. Jeffrey Bossa definitely made another impact in the game against the Seahawks. Had a tackle for loss in that game.
For a game where the linebackers really didn't play well.
They played terrible. They were so bad. He was by far the best one out there. Oh, yeah, and Tranquil. And,
oh, sure.
You definitely miss having your starters out there.
And having a Chris Jones to keep them off the linebackers.
Exactly, to kind of clog up the middle of that D-line. But, yeah, no, I thought Bossa has definitely impressed. I think Jalen Royals may have hurt Nico Remigio's chances of staying on the team the entire year. Early, I think he'll have a spot because of the potential suspension to Rashi. But I don't know if Remigio's going to be on the team throughout the year if you can continue to get the kind of production that you got from Jalen Royals.
I don't know, man. I think they value him so much.
They like him a lot. Dave Tope really loves
special
him.
Teams.
That's Dave Tope's guy.
But I think that, you know. Wide receiver skill set, they still work him in there on it and stuff like that there at the end of the game. But he's a returner, man. I mean,
he's mainly just a returner.
I think he's on the team. But
I would say he's on the team right now. But I wouldn't be shocked if they felt like they needed to kind of sacrifice somewhere because, hey, we got other guys that can return.
If they keep 6, probably not. But if they keep 7, which I think they will, he's on.
Yeah, if they keep 6, I think he's gone. I think he's
7,
gone.
I think he's on.
7, I would lean yes right now, but would not be shocked if they went elsewhere. Because I just feel like if you can get Jalen Royals to be productive in the offense this year and as a returner, that's a really good value.
He showed those return abilities, man.
Because, I mean, he's going to be, you know, likely be counted on a little bit more earlier than we'd like him to be counted on. But, like, once you get Rashi back, and presumably you get healthy Hollywood and Xavier still out there doing his thing.
Who Xavier, by the way, he said the best punt return on this team.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like if you got that out there, I mean, you could rely on Jalen more in special teams than you would need to rely on him as a receiver. So just food for thought. DB room, though, getting a little thin. You've got 4 injuries right now amongst the defensive backs. Nazi Johnson left last Friday's game with a shoulder injury. Noel Williams left last Friday's game with a concussion.
He shows so much promise when he's not hurt.
Yeah, I know. Jalen Watson, he's in concussion protocol from last week's game in Arizona. And then Mike Edwards, he's got a hamstring injury right now. So
Noel Williams, by the way, stepped up and had a really good game for a rookie. I know he had a couple hands to the face. One was called, one wasn't.
Yeah, but still, I thought Noel Williams has looked good in his time out there in camp. So. And in the preseason. So I think Noel Williams has got a lot of promise. And I think they're not gonna rush him out there unless they need to. And hopefully the concussion that him and Jalen Watson have had, hopefully they're able to get over that and they'll be good to go for the regular season. But certainly right now, that is a little bit of a concern. It's part of the reason why I was really kind of looking at them getting a couple of corners in the draft this year, just because I when you kind of look at their corner situation, it's not a whole lot of long-term answers. You basically have 3 corners right now who are on 1-year deals and, you know, 3 guys who are going to probably get some decent playing time, if not prominent playing time.
It's going to be a definite keep in mind, they still get valuable ones.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fourth round and beyond.
Right,
and
then, it's just you don't want to take that for granted.
But I think, but I do think that'll be an area they hit in the draft this year as well.
I think you have to this year for sure. So we'll get to, let's get to the final part of our college football preview for the 2025 season. And the last two position groups we need to hit on, cornerbacks, safeties, as I just brought up, corners, very, very important in this draft class. And I think that the corner position is really nice because there's a lot of good size at corner in this draft class. You know, it was funny, we kind of talked about last week about how like the linebacker position is getting smaller. You look at these corners, they're starting to get a little bigger.
Oh, they are.
There's not quite as many like, you know, well over 6 foot, like 6'2 plus.
That's why I think the Chiefs
guys
can trade Josh Williams, 6'3.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys here. You just look at the top of the class. You have guys like Avion Terrell out of Clemson. You know, he's 5'11", 180, and he's like one of the smaller guys at that position there. You do have a couple of guys that are more like slot, like probably more like slot guys, like Chandler Rivers from Duke. He's 5'8", 184. So you guys like that, you know, Jermaine Cooper's 5'11", 184 as well. So smaller guys like that. But, I mean, man, there are so many guys that are 6 foot plus. You know, Malik Muhammad from Texas, 6 foot, 185.
He's my favorite, by the way, of the group.
Yeah,
Malik Muhammad and Jermaine McCoy from Tennessee are my top two.
Right, yeah. Jermaine McCoy is another one, 6 foot, 195. You've got AJ Harris, Penn State, 6'1", 185. DJ McKinney from Colorado, he's 6'2", 190. Will Lee, the third from Texas A&M, he's 6 foot, 191. There's a lot of size in this group. Obviously, the arm length, I think, will also play a part in it as well, because like that's kind of one of the weaknesses that Trent McDuffie has, is that Trent McDuffie is, I think his arm length is like 29 and a half or 29 and three quarters. So like that kind of hurts him in man coverage down the field. But these guys have a lot more length, and I think this is a really good class to go get at least one outside corner.
Getting a lot of them in the 4-5 range, 4-5 range, which again is fine for
that's
corners.
Good. That's
but
fine.
AJ Harrison, Penn State's a guy they're really watching this year too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely another guy to look out for as well. So I think there's good depth at the corner position here. There isn't the one corner, you know, like usually like most years, there's that one corner that's clearly the elite player at his position. And, you know, there, you know, we've seen the like Derek Stingley or like Sauce Gardner, you know, where it's like, you said what?
Quinya
Mitchell. Though Quinya was kind of later in the process.
Jahdae Barron last year.
Right. And Jahdae was another one later in the process because, like, for most of the year, it was Will Johnson that people were talking about. But usually there's like one or two corners in a season that we go into the season like, those are the elite guys. I don't think we have that right now. Maybe as we go deeper into the season, we'll start to develop that person is the elite guy. But right now, I think there's just a lot of good depth overall. And, you know, especially we talk about like day two for the draft. I think day two for corners might look really good. And the Chiefs might have a lot of really good options for getting themselves some help on the outside there at corner. Then we go to safety. And for safety, you know, usually a lot of years there's like maybe one safety good enough to go first round, but they're not like the superstar guy. It's like a mid to late first round player that, you know, maybe early on in the season we didn't talk about, but as the season progressed, their play put them in the first round. That's not like that this year. This year we have one safety that is for sure going to be like, we're looking at like almost guaranteed superstar, probably a top 10 pick. And that's Caleb Downs, the safety out of Ohio State, 6'205". He was the best DB, I think, on the Buckeyes roster last season.
Well, keep this in mind too. He was a stud at Alabama before he transferred to Ohio State.
Yeah. He's been a great player for a while now. He was, I think, the best player they had on their defense last year. I think he's the best player they have on their defense again this year. And I think Caleb is going to be one of those guys that probably plays himself into the top 10.
Yeah, safety's kind of been neglected really high early on the last couple of years. Different,
right, because you could get good safety play, especially
Caleb
with the
Downs
systems.
A special player, man.
The way that these teams run their systems now, safety isn't quite as important because, you know, for the most part, like, it's kind of become interchangeable with, like, nickelback and linebacker and whatnot. So you get guys who kind of specialize in different roles there. Caleb Downs is one of those guys, he can play anywhere. He can play.
I think he's top five, to be honest with you.
I think there's a good chance he could be top five, yeah. It depends on how quarterback goes, and it depends on what happens with, like, the edge rushing class, too. Because I think you could probably have, like, at least one of those edge rushers. You know, at least one of those guys is going to be, I think, top five. But you could have two of them. And obviously quarterback is going to be something to look out for. But Downs, I think, right now I'd put him top 10 for sure, maybe top five. And it also depends on who's picking there. But you have Caleb Downs. You have Kamari Ramsey from USC. That's another guy to look out for. Dylan Thienemann from Oregon. And you know, these safeties are big. All these guys are 6 foot plus, except for one. Rod Moore at Michigan, he's 5'10", 182. Outside of that, all these guys are huge. I mean, VJ Payne, the safety from K-State, he's 6'3", 210. He's the same size as some of the linebackers we were talking about last week on our preview. Zaki Wheatley from Penn State, 6'2", 198.
Part of that great secondary with A.J. Harris back there at cornerback. That's going to be a team to watch if you look for
defensive back. Penn State's going to be – I would expect Penn State to be in the playoff again this year, especially because they were able to keep Aller and keep Nick Singleton as well. Emmanuel McNeil Warren from Toledo, which same school that Quinyon Mitchell went to, 6'3", 209. I don't think he's going to have a lot of hype early in the season, and, you know, definitely Toledo guy, not going to get a lot of run. But as the season goes along, he might start getting on people's radars, and then in the pre-draft process, much like Quinyon Mitchell did, he jumps up because people actually start to look at his film now. So I think he's going to be an interesting guy for sure. Keon Sabb as well from Alabama, 6'1", 205. Like I said, all these safeties are good-sized guys. Aside from the only one that's under 6 feet is Rod Moore. The rest of these guys are 6 feet. And certainly, like, those numbers are, like, estimates right now or just, like, what we get from teams. So these guys might end up being, like, 5'11". We'll see. But as of right now, you're talking about all these guys being 6 foot plus. So moving on to our watch list for week zero. I'm very excited about this. This is a great time. Not as deep of a slate because it is week zero.
It's got five games. This could be the last year they call it week zero.
Yeah, I think in the future they might just start putting
There's
more games
some classics,
there.
Man, like the 1990 game between Tennessee and Colorado. Eric Bieniemy was running back in the game. Alvin Harper's in the game. Then Colorado goes on and wins the national title. But
so a couple of games that have like some of the watch list players on them for sure. The big one, two ranked opponents there, taking place over in Dublin, Ireland. You got number 22, Iowa State, taking on number 17, K-State. Really weird to see Big 12 matchup happen this early in the season. But a couple guys on each team. Defensive tackle Dominique Orange for the Fighting Illini, and cornerback Jeremiah Cooper for the Illini, and then for K-State.
You mean the Cyclones?
Yeah. I'm tripping. The Cyclones. I was thinking Illinois. Yeah, for the Cyclones. And then for K-State, you've got Dylan Edwards, the very small running back that they have transferred from Colorado from a couple years ago. But Dylan's definitely got a lot of potential. Could be a late-round guy. Size is going to work against him. But, Deuce Vaughn's still playing for the Cowboys, and he's going to his third season. So, was it third season or second season? Second season. So, but he's still got a spot there. He was what, a fifth, sixth round pick for them. Dylan Edwards definitely has shown that he could. We've seen the precedent to where guys like him can be in the league. And then VJ Payne, with his size, if he shows the athleticism, we're probably talking maybe even second.
Actually,
round.
Actually, third year for Deuce.
Oh, is it third year?
Yeah, you know. 2023 draft. It was Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, he was, man.
Six-round pick. Because then it was Kansas City, and then what, Detroit,
right.
And then Green Bay.
Man, he was 23. So he's going into his third season with the Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh,
that's good for him.
I got a few more guys in this game. Benjamin Brommer, I think, the tight end from Iowa State. He's 6'6", about 260. He got hurt last year. He only played like eight games. The very first year, he had a really productive year as a true freshman at Iowa State. Jeremiah Cooper, that safety, 6'1", 190, that you have as well on your watch list. And Tyler Miller, right tackle. He's 6'9", 335 pounds. He'd be praying right tackle. And then, of course, Dominic Orange as well. In K-State, I had Austin Romaine. He's the inside linebacker. He flies everywhere.
Yeah.
10 tackles for loss. The guy's all over the place. He's 6', about 242 pounds. That's an inside linebacker. And Dylan Edwards, and then it's not a need for the Chiefs, but Avery Johnson will show up on an NFL roster. Unless he comes back.
I think he's going to come back.
Probably could.
He was not good last year, and I think he's got a lot of holes in his game. So I think he's probably going to come back for next year.
But the tight end for Iowa State, definitely check him out. 6'6", 260. He's a playmaker.
Yeah. We'll see how he produces this year. Tight end's one of those positions that's really hard. Unless you're like an incredible athlete, it's really hard for you to be productive at the college level. So, especially because like receivers and whatnot, the way these offenses are built. So we'll see about tight ends. One of those positions I didn't go deep on the watch list because most of these guys, there's first off, not a ton of them get drafted anyways.
So Eli Stowers had a
Stowers is probably he might be the guy, the only one really
probably
that is ends up being like really really good. We'll see tight end also like especially with like the high tight end draft picks. A lot of those guys don't pan out.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a wash with that. You also have Idaho State and UNLV playing this weekend.
Not a bunch from Idaho State, of course, but Troy Omari is a guy that was at Texas, first of all, and he transferred to Arizona State. You know, he played in the playoff game, played against Texas there in the college football playoffs. He's transferred to UNLV. And the thing I like about Troy is he's 6'4 at about 220 pounds. I mean, listen, not a first, second, or third rounder. Could he go in the fifth, fourth, or fifth? I think so. But Trail Murray, someone to watch just because of his size.
Yeah.
And playmaking ability.
We'll see.
It's the only prospect. I don't even know if he can catch this game on TV. I don't know where the hell this game's going to be at, but I know that CBS Sportsnet.
You know what? That game will definitely be on TV.
I know CBS Sportsnet's showing Sam Houston in Western Kentucky, but. Yeah, it'll be on somewhere.
It'll be on somewhere because it's college football and there's not really a whole
lot. Might be ESPN Plus.
Yeah, it probably won't be that. It'll probably be on like ESPNU or something. But it will be on a network somewhere. Maybe even like FS1. FS1 seems to get games like that.
I couldn't find it.
You do have Fresno State and KU also playing as well. I do think the center, Bryce Foster, that's a guy to look out for because he might be a guy that, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's like, don't assume that interior linemen are just going to play the position that they played in college. Because there's a lot of those guys that will be drafted and they'll move to – if you're a center, you can move to guard and vice versa. So there's a very good chance, I think, that Bryce Foster could be a guard in the league. Even though he is a center right now at KU, he is someone to look out for. And then you do also have Jalen Daniels, the quarterback out of KU. I'm not the biggest believer in him. I think last year was like the big test for him to kind of showcase his game and showcase if the league is where his next step is. And I don't think he really showed that. I mean, there certainly were some games where he did look really great, but I think there were a lot of games where really you kind of came up a little disappointed in his game. And you kind of looked at like Devin Neal as kind of the savior for them in a lot of their games, especially later in the season, like the Colorado game. I mean, that was a Devin Neal game. That was not a Jalen Daniels game. So, but yeah, then, you know, you brought up Sam Houston versus Western Kentucky, CBS Sports Network, and then Stanford and Hawaii will be on CBS. So not a ton, but some action this weekend. I'll be really excited about next weekend because next weekend we'll have the full slate of games. Plus, you're going to have a Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a Monday night game.
You will. By the way, I found that game for Idaho State and UNLV available on YouTube TV and FUBU and the Mountain West Network.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere. I got YouTube TV.
It'll be on the other
I got YouTube TV, so it'll be on somewhere.
You'll get it.
It'll be on somewhere. One of the, like I said, it's definitely going to be on TV because it's sports and
all
right
games
now,
are on TV now.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Now
you may have to pay for them, stream them, or something.
Yeah, their games are going to be on somewhere on TV because there's nothing that pulls ratings like football does on TV. So that game will be on there, and it'll probably pull more games than most sporting events will this weekend. So, but yeah, I'm excited. That's our week zero watch list there. Not a ton to watch, but I'm going to be locked in on some of these games on Saturday when I get off work. I'm sure you're going to be locked in on the games from start to finish.
The best news is you can catch them. You can catch the K-State game. Love it right here at 96.5 The Fan, too.
Yep.
You have that game, and then of course, you got on Fox later that afternoon, KU. So you get the best of both worlds. You can watch them both.
Right. And don't forget, we're also going to have the Chiefs game this Friday on 96.5 The Fan. The Royals game will be on 6:10 a.m. So, you know, if you're more inclined for the Royals, then you can listen to the a.m. side on 6:10. If you're more inclined for Chiefs preseason, listen to 96.5 The Fan.
Well, so, the best part about it is we got college football next. We got Texas and Ohio State to preview for the following week.
Yeah, and that's going to be a massive game.
And we got that, and we got college football all the way through, the playoffs and all that. We got NFL through February, so you got real football on now.
Yeah, you got real football games happening now. NFL is going to start in a couple weeks from Thursday, so we're getting there. We're getting real soon here.
We're getting there.
We're going to start. You know, I just did my fantasy league draft from my main money league. I just did that this past weekend, and so yeah, we're starting to. It is getting here really fast. It's getting
here.
We've
been
waiting
long enough, Chris.
Yeah, we've waited long enough. I'm excited about this. So next week, we're going to have our thoughts on preseason game 3. Probably not going to be a ton because most of these guys aren't going to play very much, if at all. But we'll have those thoughts. We'll have our thoughts for the best performers from week 0, which, again, probably not going to be a ton because it's week 0, not a lot of games. But we will have a huge watch list for week 1 of college football next week. All the teams are going to be playing.
And the most impressive thing is, these guys have to go right away. There's no preseason football.
There's no
man.
Preseason football
State,
for them.
Teammates go.
Yeah, these teams are now they're scheduling bigger matchups early in the season, especially now because you're not really hurt by it because the college football playoff exists. You know, even though they keep arguing and they can't figure out a solution on what the formula is going to be, Certainly, there's more room for error. So we're going to get better games early in the season. I'm excited.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't want to see Alabama and McNeese State play every year in week one. I want to see bigger matchups. So I'm excited about what we're getting here, and we hope that you're excited too. Make sure you download, subscribe, like us, give us 5 stars wherever you listen to us at. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at @0to60. Bink is at 3 Guys in a Garage. So, if you want to keep locked in on us all throughout this 2025 season, we'd appreciate that. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us. This has been the
Thank
Character
you.
Concerns Podcast here on the Odyssey app and 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.